Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist. Brought to you by Eagers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eagers.com.
You're impeached forever. You're never getting rid of that.
Nancy Pelosi is a horrible person.
It was shameless, and it was also unlawful.
We're going to fight to the death. We're going to get them.
Most Americans agree on a pathway to citizenship.
I think Mitt Romney showed a great deal of courage.
It was all bullshit.
So eloquently summed up by our president yesterday. Can we just all agree on that this morning? I can.
Here we are.
Good morning
history.
To you. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, honestly, that is the refreshing approach that Donald Trump has brought to politics. No politician who sits around and worries about their image all the time and what somebody's thinking of them would ever stand up and give the freewheeling news conference our president gave yesterday morning. Can we all agree on that? You wouldn't do it. You just wouldn't do it. I'm sure that people like political strategists like Chris Arps, the role he played in campaigns, where they were probably all losing their mind yesterday. What's he doing? Why is he saying this? I'm telling you.
That's
the way it is.
I don't know. I wouldn't give a public address as a job, part of my job, and use the word BS, but
that's me.
Well, but that's just me.
But he's correctly angry over what happened. This is what I was talking about yesterday. Happy Friday morning, by the way.
Happy Friday.
Let me forget that. Glad everybody's here with us. And when I watched the CBS morning news yesterday, I saw this. When I watched CNN last night, I saw this. What's her name on CNN? Gloria Borger is on CNN last night with Wolf Blitzer. And they played the clip again of Bill Clinton the day after he was acquitted by the Senate in 1998. And he came out and he apologized to the American people for putting him through this and just wanted to get on with the business of the country. And she said, Bill Clinton was contrite, and he asked for people's forgiveness. Donald Trump didn't do that. He came out and called it BS. That's the character of these two men. And it's just the biggest bunch of horse crap I've ever heard. Bill Clinton had sex in the Oval Office with a 22-year-old intern. This was the epitome of the hashtag MeToo movement 30 years before anybody knew what the hell it was or put a name to it. And then he lied about it to FBI agents, committed perjury. There is no parallel between what these two did. Donald Trump didn't owe anybody an apology for the phone call and the transcripts he released. Bill Clinton did. He owed the nation an apology for his poor judgment in what he did. There's just no correlation there. And it's the headline in USA Today again. In 1999, Bill Clinton was humbled by impeachment. Today, Donald Trump unloaded on a phony, rotten deal.
He was humbled by impeachment?
Humbled.
Hmm.
Did you ever know Bill Clinton to be humbled
No.
by anything? No. Thank you.
Interesting choice of words.
Yeah. I thought so. Anyway, hey, you know the biggest news of the day?
What's that?
At Real James Woods is back on Twitter.
Oh, good.
It happened last night. He said, I'm back.
He's funny.
And he already has 2 million followers again.
How long has he been
gone? Do you have to refollow
like a year.
Somebody? If
about a year.
Gone a while.
If they leave Twitter, you have to like refollow them?
I
or
think
he
must.
Or if you're already following them before.
Maybe he suspended his account and just restarted it. I got the impression that he left altogether. But he's back.
Well, I'm going to look.
And it's glorious.
Very exciting.
In case you weren't following him before, go follow him because it's just glorious.
Oh, yeah.
There's been a void on Twitter since he left, I'll have to say. I'm just telling you, you've got to go check that out.
Check out Mark's Twitter, too, MarkCox971.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
While you're at it, follow that. Go like the Facebook page. Go like the Facebook page. We've had over 300 and some people added to the Facebook page following just in the past week or two. So get on there. If you're listening, go to the Mark Cox Show on Facebook. Like the page, and then you'll get updates when we post new stuff on there. It's fantastic.
You'll get the best memes around.
You will. You will.
Because they're asshats. That's why.
So a minute ago, Denise read an article that I saw yesterday, read a story that I think I saw a headline about it yesterday, something about them wanting to put a casino at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Close, near the Lake of the Ozarks, beyond, not like, it's the Osage River. So right now the law is they can only be on Mississippi and Missouri rivers, and this would change the state constitution to include Osage River. So
have they
near.
Not seen the show Ozark? That's a really bad, I mean, people are going to be dying, things are going to be blowing up, bodies are going to be buried all over the place. Why would they do that?
It would be huge.
Hugely successful casino.
That's why. Money.
I remember 10, 15 years ago, because we had a boat that I kept down at the Lake of the Ozarks. I didn't have a place down there, but we kept a boat docked down there. And I remember there was a big discussion about a business owner. I think he might have owned the Frog down there, who was trying to bring in a casino to the strip right by the dam. He wanted to put a casino right there to draw in business. And the local business owners there, this guy was an outsider.
Yeah.
And they just shut him down.
Yeah.
They wanted nothing to do with that. So I don't know. I wonder. I mean, I guess if it's going to draw more people to that general area, like a Branson type thing, maybe that they see the benefit in that now. They didn't back then.
Yeah, casinos are typically a huge draw. I can't imagine, other than the competition aspect, why local business owners wouldn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Could be. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Because if they're changing the Constitution, aren't they going to have to go to a vote of the people? They're going
to
put it on the ballot, aren't they? Yeah, seems like it. Anyway,
it doesn't seem hard to change the Constitution in Missouri.
No.
Isn't someone trying to do that every election?
Every election, right?
Just think it hard enough and it happens.
It's going to be a pot dispenser in every corner soon. That's kind of the direction they're going.
Yeah, I mean, the story, at least on the AP, it doesn't get specific. Yes, it would ask votes. So the voters would have to approve it. And again, it's on the Osage River. It would be between the Bagnell Dam and then the point where Osage and the Missouri River meet. So if you can kind of picture where that area is at the Ozarks.
So then south of the dam, then, obviously.
So the House member that presented the idea, his name's Rocky Miller, said he filed a proposal to try to preempt a potential initiative petition drive to allow casinos on the lake.
Hmm.
So maybe it's just a better, at least he thinks it's a better plan than trying to let other people decide where a casino could go. So get it in the state constitution before it goes places that local, you know, residents wouldn't want.
My experience in recent years is getting on the Lake of the Ozark in any boat shorter than 30 feet is a gamble. Because you might get swamped or run over by one of the 45-foot yachts that zip up and down through there all the time.
It's a busy lake.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a place where if I'm at with my kids, we either are on the water real early, and then you don't go out in the middle of the day.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy.
But a casino could be a place for a concert venue. It would be a huge economic, I think, boost.
Yeah.
Not that they need it, but additional revenue.
Especially with the extra 2 weeks that everyone's going to be hanging out at the Ozarks, apparently. We changed the constitution for that, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. What was that?
Because now schools can't start till August 24 so that more people spend time at the Ozarks.
I love this state.
Or in Branson.
Or Branson.
Could be Branson.
I mean, even though now you're not going to be able to go as early, but whatever.
It's fine.
I still don't understand that. It does not make sense to me. I mean, okay, so you can go 2 weeks later, but now people, so you can go later in August, but now you're not going to be able to go in May? So really, what difference does it make?
DESE could make the school year as long as they want it to be, right? They could.
Yeah.
So they don't have to make you go 2 weeks longer in the spring. I mean, there's a minimum amount of days.
A certain amount of days or hours, yeah.
Right. Well, just cut out all the free teacher days.
they have had to make adjustments. I mean, the calendars will definitely be different starting next year. But, I don't get you start 2 weeks later, but I don't know.
I wonder if it's an attempt to keep up with the seasons changing. It seems like
that it's colder and,
it's just kind of shifted. We get the seasons. They've just shifted.
It could be. You brought the Bush family. What's this show going to be called? The Bush Family Brood. Brood.
Yeah, on MTV. Starting March 5th.
B-R-E-W-E-D, not B-R-O-O-D. And when I looked at it, I thought it was...
I think when you hear Bush beer, you kind of get which brood you're talking about.
But it's only one of the brood. It's only Billy's kids, right?
It's Billy, his wife, and they have 7 kids, so it's following their family.
Yeah, it's following them as they jaunt around on their 700-acre estate in St.
Louis.
It's
good to be a Bush family member.
I'm going to watch that.
I know. I want to see it, too.
The only thing that would make that worth watching is if August Bush the 3rd and August Bush the 4th were in it. That's the drama.
I don't understand the intricacies of that family, so I don't know. I don't get the reference.
I don't know what this family's done other than dad starting a brewery that he ended up shutting down.
You got 7 kids that have grown up with a lot of money. You've got entertainment value.
Maybe. And I just don't
because
know.
Because,
you
know, it was in the St. Louis area.
Right, because, you know, they were filming around St. Louis. So, you know, that just little... That makes me want to at least watch an episode.
They have my ticket.
Maybe they'll make reference to what the 4th is up to these days.
I think we've got to talk off air about what's going on, because I don't understand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just sick and twisted. That's basically it.
There's some drama. Some drama around the family, yeah. But that's what makes good reality TV,
it's why
right?
the brewery got sold, true. Because of a disagreement between the 3rd and the 4th. That's why we have AB InBev these days. Mm. That's what they should have done the show on. Come on.
Maybe they'll touch on that
it
kind of
sick and twisted.
Sick and twisted. Bush Family Brood. I want a Budweiser.
Always.
Always. I love beer. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I believe that the act he took, an effort to corrupt an election, is as destructive an attack on the oath of office and on our Constitution as I can imagine.
You realize this is war. Donald Trump will never forgive you for this.
And we are joined by the man, Chris Wallace of Fox News Sunday right now. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back, Mark.
Yeah, yes, sir. You've been a little busy the last couple of weeks, huh?
Man, and no, it's been quite a news cycle between impeachment and the Iowa caucus and now New Hampshire, and we ended up because Fox was doing the Super Bowl down in Miami for that. So it's but if you're a newsman, it's all good.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I loved when you turned into Chris Wallace, sports reporter. I watched your bit with all the football guys down there. That was great.
I thought I did. I thought I held my own. And let me tell you, those guys, we're talking about the people on NFL Fox Sunday,
yes.
Howie and Terry and Jimmy and Michael. They are just looking for the slightest little sign of weakness or gap in knowledge so they can hammer you. So, I mean, it's all in good fun, but you got to hold up your end of the bargain.
They were giving Chris a hard time if you didn't see it, because he looked down at his notes once when he was reciting statistics on some of these players, and they lit into you over that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. But if it wasn't that, it would have been something
yeah,
else. Listen, it really was fun. The whole thing was fun. And first of all, to the state of Missouri, because I happen to know where the Kansas City Chiefs play. Congratulations. I went to the game on Sunday. It was a great game. That they should hold the Super Bowl in Miami every year. The scene in South Beach is great. The stadium is great. And it was a great game. And Patrick Mahomes, I was rooting very, and I'm not you know, kissing up to the home state. I was rooting for Mahomes because I think he's the most exciting, dynamic player in football. And it took him a while, but in the last, what, 7 minutes of the fourth quarter, he showed it.
Yeah, he did. He was getting some grief here because at the parade, he was pouring beer off the top of a bus into some of his teammates' mouths. And the press over in Kansas City gave him some little bit of grief over that. So they were having a good time, though.
I was going to say, if you can't celebrate a Super Bowl, the first one for the Kansas City Chiefs in, what, 30 50, or 50 years,
50, yeah.
I think it's all fun. As long as he wasn't driving, or they weren't driving, pouring beer into the mouths of his teammates is fine.
Well, Mahomes is good at driving, that's for sure. We saw that at the end of the game.
Well, there you go.
Chris, you got the exclusive with Mitt Romney. They came to you when he decided to do this, and I loved what you said to him because, it's the truth. They're never going to forgive you for this, for whatever his reasoning was.
No, and he knows that. And, in fact, the president spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast, and the very first thing he said is, I don't like people who use, under the cover of faith,
yes,
to do the wrong thing. That's gentle compared to what's come from his son, Don Jr. And, you know, I have to tell you, they called me, and they said he wants to do one television interview and to explain his reasoning, and I sat down with him. And, you know, we started off because I covered him in 2012 and stuff. I've known him for a long time before the cameras started rolling, and we were talking about his wife and his kids and all of that. And as soon as we started talking on camera, it got really solemn because he struggled with this decision. Look, I'm sure a lot of your listeners disagree and think he did the wrong thing, but I will tell you this was an act of conscience on his part. People can say it's misjudgment, but he really struggled with this, and he fully understood the consequences, and they're going to be severe, not necessarily from his Republican colleagues in the Senate, but you're going to see it from the president, you're going to see it from a lot of Republicans, you're going to see it from a lot of conservative commentators, and in fact, you've already begun to see it.
Yeah, in his home state, isn't there an effort to be able to change the law so they can recall a sitting senator?
Yeah,
yeah,
no,
I read that.
But look,
yeah.
And I think you have to, whether people agree with it or not, I think you have to give people the courage of their convictions. And the one thing that came through to me in this is he was 100% sincere. This wasn't because he hates Trump or, you know, I don't think he likes Trump particularly, but that wasn't what this was about. He read all the evidence. He took his oath to do impartial justice very seriously. He said, I dread it. I really hope they never were going to impeach him because I didn't want to have to make this decision. And then he said through another senator that he went to the White House and said, please send us affidavits from, you know, just sworn affidavits, not testimony, from Mulvaney and Bolton and people like that, you know, so I can maybe find reasonable doubt.
Yes.
He didn't want to do this, at least he says, and I believe him. But he said that was the only choice he could make that kept faith with his conscience and with his religious faith. And I'm not going to criticize anybody who does that.
Yeah, well, he claims that's his reason. He clearly ought to get out of the kitchen if he can't take the heat, and he knew the heat was coming, so he made his decision with open eyes there. That's for sure.
He says, "I know I'm going to take the heat."
Yes.
He's not saying poor me. So, you know, people are going to bring it, but I'm not saying whether I think what he decided was right or wrong. I do honor the fact that he did it and made the decision that he felt in his heart and mind and soul was the right decision to make.
Chris, I'm sure you were watching the prayer breakfast there. If you saw that comment by the president, I couldn't help but to notice that he also made reference to people who claim that they pray for you, and you know it's not the truth. And Nancy Pelosi was sitting about five seats away from him when he said
that. Oh, I didn't know that. I did see the comment. I didn't know that she was sitting next to him. And let me say, you know, as full and open-hearted as I thought Mitt Romney's action was, I thought what went on in the State of the Union on Tuesday night was just horrible, was just the worst of our politics and government. You know, I don't know whether the president snubbed her on the handshake. You know, you look at you consult the videotape, it's like looking at an instant replay in the Super Bowl. I can't tell whether he was looking at her or not. But I certainly do know that, you know, she very consciously and knowing she was going to be on camera ripped up his speech. I think that was the wrong thing to do. I think it was bad form. You know, it's one thing you want to disagree with the president. You want to say afterwards you think he's full of BS. Fine. But, you know, to sit there at an occasion of state, you're the Speaker of the House, and to rip up his speech, I thought it was just wrong.
Yeah, I agree. So now you're off to New Hampshire. Let me play this bite and get your reaction. Cut six, please.
I am not going to sugarcoat it. We took a gut punch in Iowa. The whole process took a gut punch.
Yeah, Joe Biden will come out of Iowa, it looks like, with no delegates. That is definitely a gut punch if you're the presumed front runner for the Democratic nomination.
Yeah, and here's, I think, the real point. It doesn't matter in terms of delegates because there are only 41 delegates. You need almost 2,000 to be get the nomination in Milwaukee in July. But it's momentum and it's fundraising. And for the guy who has been the front runner all along, who is the two-time vice president of the United States, spent, what, I think 36 years or something in the Senate, to finish fourth. Not second, third, fourth, and a distant fourth is really an embarrassment. And you know, if he does fine in New Hampshire, it'll be forgotten. But he doesn't look from the polls that he is going to do fine. And I understand he's going down south then to South Carolina, where with African American support, he should do much better. But this really is going to raise questions about his candidacy. And the thing that's most important, you know, people don't ever quit because they run out of ambition or ideas. They quit because they run out of money. And you know, if he doesn't turn this thing around in a hurry, he's going to face a Michael Bloomberg with an unlimited amount of money. He's never going to run out of money on Super Tuesday when 40% of the delegates are chosen in a really weakened state. So I think his campaign is in some trouble after Iowa.
So are you up there for Fox News Sunday?
I'm up there for Fox News Sunday and then through Tuesday for the our special coverage. And you know what we hope? I only hope for one thing, that on election night we actually get some results. We actually get some. I know it's color me crazy. I know it's a kind of foolish hope on my part. What an embarrassment Iowa was. And, you know, to all the candidates that spent weeks and months and millions of dollars, and more importantly, to the people of Iowa who really do take this seriously and really do take their position as the first in the nation vote and you know, want to do right by the candidates, want to do right by the race, this epic failure by the state Democratic Party, they failed, the people and the candidates and the Democratic Party. It was really an embarrassment, and I would not be surprised if that's the last time Iowa leads off the primary process.
Could be. You know, before I let you go, Chris, I couldn't help but note the death of Kirk Douglas. And when I looked up at CBS News earlier, there was a clip of your dad interviewing Kirk Douglas. It must have been back in the 80s sometime. Kirk looked significantly younger then. Did you ever get a chance to meet him?
I did not. I've met Michael a few times. I've never met Kirk, but he and they weren't friends, but they knew each other. And, you know, now that I think about it, Kirk Douglas, they must have been about the same age, because Kirk Douglas died at the age of 103. And I'm just thinking, doing some math, my father in May would have been 102. So okay. I guess they were contemporaries. And they were both sort of singular features, one of a kind, and tough guys. So it's another tough guy and an admirable guy passing from the scene.
No doubt about it. Chris Wallace, thank you. We'll be tuning in Sunday.
Thank you, Mark.
Yep, appreciate that. You can watch Fox News Sunday. He'll be live up in New Hampshire. Of course, they carried it 1 p.m. there on Fox News, and Channel 2 carries it in the mornings as well.
Get the Mark Cox Show podcast at 971talk.com.
Ideas that 4 years ago seemed radical are now part of the mainstream, and many of my opponents are kind of, in one way or another, echoing what I said 4 years ago.
What used to be radical is not radical anymore. Bunny.
You sound like a Wascally Wabbit.
I'm a Wascally Wabbit. He sounded more like a Wascally Wabbit these days. I'm sorry.
Which Looney Tunes character was it? Not Yosemite Sam, the other one, the bald one that with the lisp.
Oh, Fudd?
Fudd.
Elmer Fudd. Yeah.
Wascally Wabbit.
That's funny.
Anyway, Bernie and Pete are battling it out over the Iowa results. The Democrats are so mad that Biden didn't win. They want a complete recount. But the Democrats in Iowa are giving them the up yours because they're not going to do a recount unless one of the campaigns comes to them and requests a recount. So it's 26.1 to 26.2 was the final result at 100%, with Buttigieg with the 0.2 and Sanders with the 0.1. They basically got the same number of delegates out of the thing. They're in a panic. The left in this country is in a complete panic. You want to know who the odds are? Like, Real Clear Nation keeps track of the betting odds for who will be the Democratic nominee.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even close. Every single bet, BetVictor, SpreadX, Betfair, BetOnline, Bovada, 32Red, all of these have Sanders at plus 24. All of them think Bernie Sanders is going to be the nominee of the Democrat Party this year. And I don't know how accurate they are predicting politics, but I know when they tell you that a ball game is going to be a point or two, they're usually right.
Real close. Yeah.
The money is still on Bernie Sanders, just so you know. Let me get to the phone calls here. John, good morning.
Hey, Mark. Hi, everybody.
Hey, good morning.
You know, the hardest part about calling your show is by the time you actually pick up, I've already thought about 10 more things I want to say. I just want to go back a little bit, if you got a minute. I was a single parent. My kids are all grown now, raising my kids. Got a couple kids in the military. And, for 20 years or better, I'm thinking kind of back in the Clinton era is when the political correctness came in. And honestly, I didn't have time for that in my life. I mean, you couldn't even go to a PTA meeting if you had a different opinion. You got shouted down. And it's coming back to bite them in the rear end. That's because when you see people like Donald Trump who actually speak for people like me who've been kicked around for 20 years by trying to watch what I say, my opinions didn't matter. If you disagreed with me, you wanted to take my livelihood away. You see it with Whoopi and Judge Jeanine the other day. And when I see Donald Trump up there standing up and saying exactly the things I want to say to these people, they're getting pushback and they don't like it. And we're at a point in this country where I believe that the conservatives are standing up, they're pushing back, and we have to make a choice on where this country is going. And I'm going to tell you something else. If we don't get into our schools and get into these PTA meetings and change who we got teaching our kids, we're going to lose this country to socialism. It's just a matter of time.
Oh, yeah.
So I urge the people, get out there and start pushing back, because this is going to get uglier before it gets any better.
Well said, my friend, and I appreciate the phone call. Go back. I would urge people to go back and listen to our interview yesterday with the young lady from Young Americans Against Socialism. She's doing the good work of trying to inform our young people of what's going on.
Where can we find that interview?
I think that would be 971talk.com/Cox. Am I correct?
Ding, nicely ding, ding.
Thank you. You can also go to radio.com, sign up for the podcast, or wherever you get your podcast from. Go listen to that. She did a tremendous job trying to turn this ship around a little bit. Hey, when we come back, how much does the government know about your private business and why aren't they doing more to stop that? We'll be back.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.